have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back.
Well, today we bring our concluding message in our series that we've been working on since the beginning of the year, Follow Me. We started by talking about John the Baptist, a very unusual man. A man who was sent to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. He had an unusual look, dressing in camel skin, and he had an unusual diet, locusts and honey. And he preached in the wilderness, and people were intrigued. They came out to hear him, and he declared he was preparing the way for the Lord. Now, John was accumulating disciples, and one day when he was with his disciples in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 37, John records this. The following day, John the Baptist was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. We've talked in this series about what a disciple is. We can define a disciple as a student, a learner, or possibly an apprentice. But it's more than just about learning a trade. It's about learning a way of life. We compared this to a student of martial arts. We remember the movie The Karate Kid. And Daniel wasn't just learning how to defend himself. He was learning a way of life that Mr. Miyagi was teaching him. Or if you're into science fiction, you'll remember in Star Wars, you have a Jedi master and the Padawan learner. And the purpose of the disciple was to be totally committed to learning to be thinking and speaking and acting like the master. And these disciples of John were learning to think and speak and act like him. But when their master said, "Hey, there goes the Lamb of God," they started following Jesus. So we've been talking this January about four stages of discipleship that we can see in Jesus' ministry. And we've been illustrating them by these four chairs. In week one, we learned that the disciples of John and Andrew, followed Jesus. And they followed him in a conspicuous enough way that Jesus noticed. And Jesus finally turned around and said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." And this is the first stage of discipleship. Jesus invited them to come. They probably shared a meal together. They spent time together. They spent fellowship together. But there wasn't much of a commitment there. The idea here is just to spend time together. The second stage of discipleship is come, follow me. And we see this when Jesus spoke to Philip and said, "Hey, Philip, come and follow me." And this required more of a commitment. This is where after you'd come and see and you check it out and find out whether or not this thing is real, whether it's true, you actually make a commitment. And here, I'm going to follow Jesus. And we talked about this is the chair or the stage in which most believers find themselves. After they've come to see Jesus and they've committed to follow, most people who follow Jesus wind up in this chair. But we learned last week that Jesus isn't done teaching and training and developing us as disciples. Last week we learned about the third stage of discipleship, which is follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus was teaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds were pressing in on him, and so he asked Peter if he could put the boat out, and Jesus taught from the boat. And Jesus said, "Peter, throw your nets out again," and Peter, being a professional fisherman and having fished all night and caught nothing, didn't really want to, but he said, "Oh well, if you want me to, I will throw the nets out again." So he called the other boats, and they cast the nets, and they caught more fish than they'd ever seen in their lives. And Peter said, "Lord, get away from me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." And Jesus says, "Don't worry about it. From now on, you'll be fishing for men." And during this stage of discipleship, this is when we join the mission. This is when we train and become equipped to be fishers of men. And that leads us to today's message, where we're going to talk about chair number 4. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Gospel of John, chapter 15. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 868. We will be starting in verses 1 to 4, but we will continue reading. So I'd like to encourage you to keep your Bibles open to this passage. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." Now, many people in our modern world are separated from the agrarian culture in which Jesus was speaking. And grapes were a big crop. If you've ever raised fruit like this, you know it's important to tend the vines, to cut off the dead vines, and prune the ones that are growing to produce even more fruit. And so Jesus uses this very common illustration that everybody would be familiar with to talk about the fact that he is the vine and we are the branches. And every branch that doesn't produce fruit is cut away. But even the ones that do are taken care of and pruned so they can produce more fruit. See, there's this idea he's introducing where he expects us to be fruitful. Let's pick it up in verse 5. "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." Do you see Jesus' desire for us here? His desire for us is not just to survive, but to thrive by producing much fruit. That's the reason that he called us to follow. He didn't call us merely to be saved, although that was a significant part of it, but he wants us to be fruitful disciples. So, we've been talking about these 4 stages of discipleship. Let me remind you in a little more detail. In the come and see stage, the primary emphasis of this first stage of discipleship is merely to spend time together. This is what we might call the seeker stage. This is where people are checking things out and testing things out. Is what I'm hearing true? Is it real? Is it believable? And Jesus often starts with that invitation to people, come and see. And that's a very easy thing for us to do as well, to invite people to come and see. The second stage of discipleship, come follow me, the primary emphasis of this stage of discipleship is to change your direction. I no longer follow my own ways, but I make an intentional decision that I'm going to follow his ways. This is what we might call the believer stage, where I start learning his ways and living his ways. The biggest difference between these two chairs is commitment. This is where I put my faith and my trust in Jesus. This is where, as a part of changing my direction, I repent of my former way of living, and I'm no longer going to follow my ways, but I'm going to follow his ways. This is where I'm even willing to confess to other people what I believe about who Jesus is. This is where I become born again through baptism. And I'm buried to my old life, and I'm raised to walk in a new life with him. Again, many believers end up in this chair and don't progress. But Jesus wants us to become fishers of men. And the primary emphasis of this third stage of discipleship is to join the mission. While this is the seeker stage and this is the believer stage, stage three is what we might call the partner stage. And in the partner stage, this is where I'm training for the mission and equipping for the mission. One of the reasons many people never get from this chair to this chair is because they don't know how to share their faith. And we talked last week about the responsibility for that squarely falls upon leadership. We talked about Ephesians 4, 11, and 12, that God gave leadership gifts not to do ministry to people and for people, but verse 12 says the leadership gifts were given to equip God's people to do His work. That's why last week we talked about discipleship training, and we talked about this training that we want to make available to everyone who wants to learn, everyone who wants to partner up, everyone who wants to get trained and equipped for the mission. And last summer, we had 10 people in our church family go through that training. And there are some of you that are going through it right now, but there's an open invitation for anyone else in the church family that wants to do this, to become trained and equipped, to become a partner by joining the mission. But once you're trained and equipped, the fourth stage of discipleship is to go and make disciples. We talked last week about a parable about people who called themselves fishermen, but there was one thing they didn't do. What didn't they do? They didn't fish. And we talked about people who say they're fishermen, but they never fish, aren't really fishermen after all. So after we're trained and equipped, then comes the great part, to go and make disciples. The primary emphasis of this fourth stage of discipleship is to produce fruit. Jesus even said, produce much fruit. This stage of discipleship is what we call the disciple maker. And this is where we're actually building relationships with people who don't know Jesus and leading people into relationship with Jesus. And if we want to grow, if we want to thrive as a church family, we need to move through all of these stages of discipleship to the disciple maker stage. Now, last week we talked about the mission. I think everybody would agree the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, 19 to 20 would be the big mission where Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all the commands I've given you. That's the mission. Paul kind of tied a little ribbon on it when he wrote to the Colossians, and in chapter 1, verse 6, he says, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. But I do want to share something kind of sobering with you. There are well-meaning believers and even entire churches that get sidetracked and distracted from the mission. And that's when we don't grow. I'd like to give an illustration of what I mean, but I do need 4 volunteers. I'd like to invite 4 people that would be willing to come up. You're not going to have to do anything hard, but I do need you to stand up here with me. If I could have 4 volunteers that would be willing to come, there's 1. Thank you, Connie. Carolyn, I have some guys. Steve's coming, and John, this is great. Thank you guys for volunteering to come up. Just relax. We're going to do a little training here. I'd like to thank you for being willing to join the fire department. You know, every community needs a good fire department, right? But while we're here at the fire department, you need to understand that there's not always a fire to put out, is there? So what do we do? I have some ideas. Connie? If the fire truck is going to be able to get out there to put out the fires, it's got to be well maintained, right? So you're going to be in charge of making sure that the truck is fueled, it's maintained, the oil's changed, the tires are ready to go, all of that. So you're going to be in charge of the engine. You good with that? Okay. Now, just to make sure you understand, Connie, what is your job?
On the fire engine.
Okay, maintenance on the fire engine. And I think you'll do a good job. Now, John, got a job for you too. You know, when we get out to a fire, if the hoses are in ill repair or if they're knotted or damaged, we can't get the water to the fire. So your job is going to be to make sure that the hoses are in good repair. You got to make sure they're clean, there are no leaks, and they're coiled and ready to go so when we get to the fire, we can roll them right off. Okay? You good with that?
Yeah.
All right. John, what's your job?
Taking care of the hoses.
That is awesome. Now, let's just make sure we remember what's going on. Connie, what is your job?
I'm going to maintain the fire engine.
Awesome. John, what's your job?
Hose
repair. That's great. That's great. Carolyn, any fire department worth its salt has to be ready to go at any time. And not only does the engine have to be fueled, the people do too. So, Carolyn, I'm going to ask you to be our chief cook. You're going to keep everybody well-fed and energized and maintained. You good with that? Okay. Carolyn, what is your job? That's really good. Now, let's just make sure we got this going real well. Connie, what is your job?
Maintain the fire.
Excellent. John, what is your job? All right. Carolyn, what's your job? Good. That is awesome. We got a good fire department here. We got one more job for Steve here. Now, Steve, one of the iconic things in most fire departments is they have a mascot, right? They have a Dalmatian. The Dalmatian is that icon that sits right up there with you, but somebody's got to take care of the dog. Now, I know in your household, you're used to cats, and cats are a lot easier, aren't they, Debbie? But dogs take a little more work. You got to make sure they're fed, and then you got to make sure that you take them out to do their duty. And in this day and age, you got to be a pooper scooper, right? And make sure that you don't leave a mess behind. So, Steve, your job's going to be to take care of the dog. So, Steve, what's your job? Man, these guys are great. Now let's review. Connie, what's your job?
Maintain the fire engine.
Awesome. John, what's your job?
Hose.
Yeah. Carolyn?
Make sure the people are fed.
That's great. Steve?
Take care of the dog.
You guys are great. This is absolutely what I was hoping for. Wait a minute. I hear the alarm. Connie, what's your job? John, what's your job?
Hose repair.
Carolyn, what's your job?
Care of the people, feed them.
Steve, what's your job?
Take care of the dog.
Is that their job? What is the job of a firefighter?
No.
To put out the fire. Now, I really appreciate you coming up and helping me with this, but did I make it clear? Sometimes we lose focus on the mission because we get sidetracked or distracted with other things. Let's give them a hand and let them be seated. This even happens in churches. We know that our mission is to go and make disciples. Nobody argues with the fact that the Great Commission is our mission. But sometimes we get sidetracked and distracted because in order for the church to function, there are things that need to be done, right? We've got to have somebody to play the piano. We've got to have somebody to make and serve communion. We have to have somebody who will manage the budget. We've got to have some people who run the women's ministry and that ministry and this ministry. And what happens is sometimes we get so focused on the service that we do that we lose focus of the fact that our mission is to produce fruit. And how do we produce fruit? By learning how to be a fisher of men. Now, last year when the search team invited me out and had a conversation about coming to serve here, one of the big concerns was we want our church to grow. And many churches think, well, if we can only hire the right preacher, the church is going to grow. If we can only have the right programs, our church is going to grow. If we can only have the right ministries that we offer in the community, our church will grow. And all of those things are good. And all of those things are necessary. But brothers and sisters, if each one of us who's a follower of Jesus loses sight of the mission of fishing for men and making disciples, we can't grow. If we depend on one person, the preacher, to do all of the fishing. I can't catch many fish when there's only one line in the water. But if everybody's fishing, we have an opportunity to produce much fruit. This is what being a disciple maker is all about. This is what building relationships with people who don't know Jesus is all about. And that sets you up for leading people into this relationship with Jesus. Now, one thing that churches have done in the last many years is they've developed a lot of activities and programs. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in a church where if you were a Christian, you came to church on Sunday mornings. You know what I'm saying? But if you were a good Christian, you came on Sunday nights too. But if you were a really committed Christian, you came on Wednesday night prayer, didn't you? And then maybe you had a women's ministry or a men's group. Maybe you were in a small group. Maybe you had some kind of a service ministry you were a part of. And what tends to happen is we have so many activities and so many programs that all we do is spend time talking to other believers. And we lose our connection with the people we need to be fishing for. And this is why I think it's so important that we don't over-program and we don't make you so busy with church activities that you don't have an opportunity to connect with people near where you live. I hope she won't be embarrassed by this, but I love Connie's heart. When she first moved back, as many of you know, she was staying with her brother Todd, but she is so glad to be at the community in Bethel. And she's so excited to interact with those neighbors there. And many of you have seen, she's even started bringing friends that she's met there. She's fishing for men. Connie is so excited, she's pursued discipleship training. Remember last fall in the iChurch series when three of our people who'd been through training decided they would share a testimony, and Cheryl was one of them. And not long after that, Connie came to Cheryl and said, "I'd like to do this." And Cheryl's leading her in that training. Cheryl learned how last summer. Now she's teaching another sister how to do it, so this sister can teach others how to do it. And that's the way the church grows. Now, some people say that the job of the minister is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. So I want to ask you something today in the most gentle way. And I don't mean to ask it to put any kind of guilt or pressure or anything like that, but it needs to be a question that all of us consider. So please understand my heart. Gently and genuinely, I want you to consider this question. If this is our mission, when was the last time you brought somebody to faith in Jesus? When was the last time you invited someone to worship? When was the last time you considered yourself to be a fisher of men? The truth of the matter is, many well-meaning believers come and see Jesus, they test it out and check it out, find out it's true, and they decide to believe. And so as a part of learning His ways, living His ways, they start to come to church, and they start to attend programs at the church, and they start to consume the things the churches offer, but never make it to chair number 3. And I want to challenge you, whichever chair in which you find yourself, to move up one. I'd like to cast a vision for 2021. 2020 was a tough year. I'm glad we were able to continue to meet. Our church family was small enough and we have enough space we've been able to spread out. But now it's 2021 and I want to issue a challenge and cast this vision. We often see the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all the nations, and we know we can't do that. I can't do that, can you? And so often what we do is we rationalize, well, I can't do that, so I'm not going to do anything. So we end up finding some ministry in which we can serve and say, I'm doing my thing for God. But what if for this year you had a different perspective? What if your perspective would be, okay, I know I can't preach the gospel to the whole world. I can't bring everybody to know Jesus. But what if your prayer was, Lord, help me bring one person to faith in Jesus this year? Maybe somebody in your family that you've been praying for, maybe a friend, maybe a neighbor that you say hi to, but you've never really gotten to know. Some of you saw this sign when you came into church today, because I kind of plastered it everywhere. But what if our vision and our goal for this year was each one, bring one. You don't have to win the world, but pray and ask God to help you bring one person to faith in Jesus Christ and possibly into fellowship with the church family. I'm going to leave these signs up as a reminder, and we're going to pray about this year. But I want to encourage you every day as you talk with the Father, ask Him to help you bring one person to faith in Christ. Do you remember in the passages we read here in John 15? Jesus said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted." Do you remember that? A lot of people think, "Great, I'm going to get a new car, or I'm going to get a new house, or I'm going to win the lottery." I'm not sure those are the kinds of prayers Jesus was encouraging people to pray. But when our prayers are about producing much fruit, I think God honors those prayers. And I think He helps it to happen. But you have to get equipped. You have to know what to do and how to do it. But you know what I love about this vision? It's biblical. It's relational. It's not a class. It's not a Sunday school. It's not a program. It's something you do in relationship. But best of all, it's doable. We can do this. So I want to ask this question. Where are you in the four stages of discipleship? Are you at the come and see level where you're just checking it out? Or are you at the come follow me stage where you've made a commitment to Christ? You've put your faith in Him. You've repented of sin and confessed Him as Lord and even been baptized. But maybe you've not made it to the fishers of men stage. Maybe that's the next step. And maybe if you've been trained, the training is for the purpose of going and making disciples. Where are you in the stages of discipleship? My challenge for you today is this. Wherever you are in the four stages of discipleship, move to the next level. Make a concerted decision this year, 2021. I'm going to grow in my faith. I'm going to grow in my ability to learn how to be a fisher of men, and I'm going to learn to be a disciple maker. Whichever chair you're in, move up one. Be all that Christ wants you to be. And then the second part of my challenge is start praying for the mission. Pray that God will help you reach one person this year. And pray for our whole church family. And you know, if each one brings one, we'll double the size of our church family this year. And if we do it again next year, we'll double again. And if we do it the next year, we'll double again. And that way, we're not talking about additions to the church family. We're talking about multiplication. And it is the Lord's desire that we all bear much fruit. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank You so much that Jesus didn't come with a program. We thank You that Jesus came to change the way of relating to You, not through keeping commandments and not through temple worship and not through sacrifices, but about making a strong relationship with Your Son. And Father, we're here today as a church family worshiping You and trying to follow You. And I just want to pray, Lord, that You'll pierce hearts today. I pray that You will help those of us who are at the come and see stage to take the next step and to make the decision and the commitment to follow Jesus. I pray for those who are at the commitment stage of following Jesus to take the next step, to learn to become fishers of men through discipleship training. And I pray, Lord, as our church family gets trained and equipped in fishing for men, that we can take the next step of making disciples. For when we produce much fruit, it brings glory to the Father. Your call, Lord Jesus, is to follow You. Help us to do that each day. And we pray these things in Your most precious name. Amen. We always have a time of decision here. I'd like to invite you to stand as we sing our sermon response song, "I Will Follow."
I will follow You. Who You love, I love. How You see. where you go.